Starting a new series today, The Secret of His Presence, The Power of His Blood. And I want to tell you, it may take a week or so for you to see how that I'm going to tie this in, because today's an introduction. And I'm just going to mention kind of a couple areas that I'm headed on this. And then I want to share with you today, because this is an introduction. And I'm just going to say this is part of the series, but part of what I'm going to share is how to approach God, how to approach the Lord. And this is more of a rhema thing. This is more of a something I feel like the Lord's saying to us as a church and saying to you personally about how to approach God. Because the way you approach Him really depends on whether you receive or not. And so it's very, very important. And this ties in with the theme that the Lord's given us for the year. And you may not know that. I've mentioned it a couple times. You're going to see it more often because we're starting to act it out in some ways. We've been doing some teaching on this. I want you to kind of see a picture of it. Do we have this on the screen? Okay, thank you so much. Okay, this is talking about freedom life is excellent life. We're going to be talking about excellent life. And this is something the Lord does in us, okay, that He presents. Okay, it's coming, right? All right. So the main thing is for us to esteem His excellency. This is talking about the Lord personally. Esteem Him. Esteem His excellency. And you've been hearing some sermons on this year. We do that with thanksgiving and praise, right? We esteem the Lord. We honor and glorify His excellency. We focus on Him. Have you heard some sermons on that? Being dependent upon Him. This is the way we honor the Lord. And when we esteem His excellency, we receive His excellence. When we esteem Him, He does a work in us. And He wants to do a work in you before He does a work outside of you. And so a lot of people just want what's on the outside. Well, He has a way. And one of the ways of God is that He wants to work in you first. He wants to do it in you first. And so by esteeming Him, see, the tendency, human tendency is to focus on ourselves. But we esteem the Lord. We honor the Lord. Thanksgiving, praise, focusing on Him, being dependent upon Him. And we receive because that puts us in a position to be a receiver of His excellence. And that's a supernatural transformation. That's not a 1 + 1 = 2. That's Jesus. That's the Jesus factor. And what we end up seeing, and this is because of grace, because we just received grace, is that it's God's desire in us being manifested. And you know what? We begin to realize. And this is what's so important. If we can get believers to believe how deeply loved they are, their life will be changed. The enemy is going to be weak in temptation and in trapping if we can show people how loved they are. And so that's a big part of our emphasis. You've been hearing something about that. And that, you know what? He has paid the price for your peace. Joy is your birthright. Have you heard anything on that this year? See, this is the fruit of the Spirit. But He wants the fruit of the Spirit to manifest in your life. That's the presence of Jesus manifested in you. And He loves to give us hope. He is our hope. And you've heard us describe that hope is the expectation of God's best in your future. It's a positive expectation of God's best in your future. And I want to tell you, when you see that, it causes your life to operate in a different measure because you're receiving His excellence. And it doesn't just stay on the inside. If it just stays on the inside, then you've thwarted the faith of God. Because I want to tell you, faith is complete when it's expressed. And, you know, receiving on the inside is so important, but you know what? It's important for us to express it, to live it out, to walk it out, to live it out. And so when we esteem His excellency, we receive His excellence, which empowers us in His excellent living. All right? Do you see that? His success and favor in our soul, body, and life. That's God's will for you. That's God's will for you. You say, well, I don't see that in my life. Well, this is how to receive that. Okay? It's a process. It's not immediate bingo. It's a process. And so it's His works. And it's His love shared. If when you get to know how much God loves you, it changes your life. But I want to tell you, one of the expressions of that is to, it empowers you to excellent living, to love on others. And if you talk all day about, well, I know God loves me, but you're not loving on others, then according to the Bible, that's a lie. Because loved people, by God, love other people. Beloved, let us love one another. That's faith in completion. Okay? And so it's faith in action. So this is where we are. You're going to see this in this series because it's a result of what God does and what He wants to do. And we're going to see it. As a matter of fact, part of His excellent living is that we are preparing this building for more people. Okay, you see some empty seats. It was quite a bit more filled the last week. But I want to tell you, we're seeing more and more seats filled. And it's going to be happening more on a regular basis. And these seats are going to be filled. And we're going to bring in more seats. Okay, but I want to tell you, that's what we're believing for. Why? It's not because of Tim's ego. My picture's not on anything on purpose. Okay, it's hard for you to even find my name. On anything. But the deal is that I'm telling you, it's for His honor and glory. And the Lord loves hearts. And every heart's got a seat. And so we want those hearts and those seats to be in these seats. All right? For His honor and glory. And so that's very, very important. So we're going to be hearing more and more about this. And so to introduce this secret of His presence, because if you capture this, it's going to change you. It's going to change your approach to the Lord. It's going to change the way you operate. And it comes back to the power of His blood and His presence and the power of His blood. I want to tell you, we never get away from that. And so I'm going to show you a couple things. Amos 9 and verse 11 is a kind of a theme verse for us, and it's kind of an intro. And so Amos 9:11 says this, all right? In that day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David. Now, I want to tell you, the tabernacle of David is very, very interesting. All right, let me finish this verse, and I'll back up and talk about it just a second. The fallen hut or booth, and close up its breaches, and I will raise up its ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. Now, the tabernacle of David is very, very interesting. There was teaching that became popular in the 80s about the tabernacle of David, and the emphasis in the 80s was on target in some ways, but it wasn't complete because the emphasis in the 80s is that it was about praise and worship. And praise and worship is beautiful. It's important. You know, I've done a number of series on praise and worship and thanksgiving. And so it's a vital part, but it's not the complete picture of the tabernacle of David. It's not just about worship, even though there was great worship. And I'm going to say this to you about the tabernacle of David. The tabernacle of David really reflects David's heartbeat. Okay? Because number one, he loved to worship the Lord. He loved to praise the Lord. He loved to celebrate the Lord. And so there was celebration in worship. There was awesomeness, the awe of God in worship. There were new songs. There were more instruments. And so it was great expansion of celebration and worship and honoring the Lord. And so that was like David because he was a worshiper. And at the same time, he was very, very interested in restoring the presence of God to the center of the nation. And so that's why that we're going to see some things about the Ark of the Covenant in this series. And so I'm just telling you, the tabernacle of David represents Jesus. The Old Testament is given to us as pictures. And the New Testament says that the Old Testament is pictures for us. Now, the beautiful picture of the Old Testament is to look for Jesus. Look for Jesus, okay? You can get caught up in the different teachings of the tabernacle and the tabernacle of Moses and Solomon. And, you know, you can get caught up in details and you can miss Jesus. The idea of it, or the heartbeat of it, is for the Old Testament to show you Jesus. And so Jesus is our picture in the tabernacle of David. All right? And so it's the Ark of His presence, the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the presence of God being manifested, was in the tabernacle of David. Okay? Now, this is kind of a picture of the tabernacle of David. It was open. Now, in Moses and even in Solomon's tabernacle, it was closed up. But in the tabernacle of David, there was free access to the presence of God, to the Ark of the Covenant that represented the presence of God. And so it was open access. And not just for Jews. It was open access for Gentiles also, which goes completely against the Jew mentality. But it's the heart of God mentality. And David was like that. And I'm going to share with you in this series that David was like, even though he lived in the Old Testament days, he had a vision, he had New Testament vision. That's probably a good way to say it. He was a man of old covenant, but he had a new covenant heart. And so he saw with his heart the way God saw with his heart, that God had a heart for the whole world. And so in the tabernacle of David, even the Gentiles were welcome to worship and experience the presence of God. Now, is that beautiful? Okay, well, this is what I'm saying. It represents Jesus' heartbeat. It represents His favor. I'm going to show you how that with the tabernacle of David and the Ark of the Covenant, the favor of God was absolutely abundant. And the acceptance of the Lord, His acceptance, is that beautiful? As a matter of fact, in the book of Acts, the leaders, the apostles, and they were meeting in Jerusalem, James, Pastor James, the pastor of the Jerusalem church, they were having a meeting because there was some discussion, because they were confused about, you know, Gentiles were being converted. Gentiles were being saved. And probably by this time, there were some former Pharisees. We know there were former priests that had received Christ. And so they had raised up with the law. And even though they had grace and they had Jesus, there was still some drawing or some attraction to the law and some dependence on that. And so there was kind of an argument going on. Well, what do we do with these Gentiles? Do we teach them the law? And Peter takes up for God and he says, why would we put a burden on them that we weren't able to live? Now, you know, some teachers want to say, well, he was just talking about circumcision. Well, no, that wouldn't describe what Peter was saying about circumcision. I mean, on the eighth day, when Jews were circumcised, on the eighth day, they had no memory of it. And so the burden was not from circumcision. The burden was from the law. That's what they were talking about. And so Peter said, we can't do that. That's not God's heart. And Pastor James, the half-brother of Jesus, stood up and he made this announcement. This is prophetic day. And what Jesus is doing with the Gentiles is prophetic. And he points back to this scripture and says, this is a prophetic scripture. Are you ready? Okay. And so this is good news because it points to our day. Is anybody here glad the Gentiles are brought in? Woo! Yeah. And he says, I will raise up its ruins. I will build it as in the days of old. In other words, God's doing a new thing. That they may possess the remnant of Edom, and this is speaking about conquering, and any enemy that's left in our ranks, any enemy that's left will be conquered, there will be victory. Does that sound like good news for you? And all the nations, somebody say Texas, that are called by my name. In other words, we have joint access because of Jesus. We are joint heirs with Christ. We're actually made a part of the seed of Abraham because of Jesus. The true Jew is the believers. And so I'm not saying that God doesn't have a covenant with the Jews. I'm saying that the new covenant, I'm telling you, brings us in. And so it's so exciting. All the nations that are called by my name, says the Lord who does this. And so he says, behold. Now see, this is when we line up with the Lord, he's free to do an acceleration of grace. And I want to tell you, this is a picture of last days. And so I'm telling you, get ready. you say, well, here we are, and this is the way I've been, and this. No, no. God's heart is this. He's doing a new thing. And I want to announce to you, He's always doing a new thing. But I'm saying to you, will you grab it? Will you recognize it? Will you receive it? Will you respond to it? Because I'm telling you, the only thing that hinders the new wave coming in is the old wave going out. I want to tell you, our heart needs to be a learner, needs to be ready to be a receiver of the new thing that God's going to do. Would you see this acceleration of grace? Because this goes to where Paul was talking about, the super abounding grace. I mean, it's bigger and greater. It's the size of God, not the size of man's mind. Okay? It's bigger than us. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, the treader of grapes, him who sows the seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt. That is, everything heretofore barren and unfruitful shall overflow with spiritual blessing. Does that sound cool? Does that sound exciting for you? Okay, I want you to hear it in the Massage Bible, okay? You know I like to do some reading out of the Massage Bible. I just absolutely got a kick out of this. And so listen at this out of the Massage Bible, the same scriptures. But also on that judgment day, I will restore David's house that has fallen into pieces. Does anyone here have some pieces of their life that have been stolen by the enemy, that has been broken by the enemy, that have some holes in it? Look at this. I'll repair the holes in the roof. I'll replace the broken windows. I'll fix it up like new. Does that sound like the Lord doing a new thing? That's to God's heart. David's people will be strong again. Somebody say the church will be strong again. At this point in time, the church is made fun of. It's considered by the world to be a place for old people and kids. Now, I want to tell you something. That's going to change. I believe that's going to happen in the last days. I don't believe that the church of Jesus Christ is going out with a pout. I think we're going out with a shout. And so I'm telling you, I believe God's going to show Himself mighty through His church. Okay? And so grab this right here. David's people will be strong again and seize what's left of the enemy. I want to tell you, we're going to show some conquering and some overcoming. All right? And that ought to excite somebody. But plus, everyone else under my sovereign judgment. That says Texas, too. This is God's decree. This is what He wants to do and what He says He will do. He will do this. Yes, indeed, it won't be long now. So get ready to rumble. Get ready for victory. Get ready for overcoming. Get ready for the Lord to show Himself mighty through the church. Okay? Listen at this, verse 13. This is out of the Massage Bible. Things are going to happen so fast your head will swim. I get a kick out of that. One thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once. And everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and the hills. Now, I want to tell you, that sounds like revival, doesn't it? That sounds like God doing a mighty thing, doing a new thing. Well, I want to tell you something. This has to do with the tabernacle of David. And remember, the tabernacle of David represents Jesus and His heart. Okay? Hey, look, it is worship. I want to tell you, I thank God for James. I thank God for the praise and worship that we have. Some of the places I preach don't have this. So I'm very, very grateful. But I want to tell you something. When I read this, it makes me know there are other levels of worship that we're not there. It's no reflection on James. It's something God's going to do with the church. And so I'm telling you, get ready. And you say, well, I don't know. It ain't my job. Don't. Your job is to practice it privately. Practice it privately. And you know what? Make sure that you're overflowing in love life and worship and praise to the Lord privately. And you know what? When it happens publicly, you're in on it already. I'm telling you, there's something to that. And so then in Exodus 25:10, and I'm not going to stay here because I got to get on with my introduction to the series, but this is part of it. Exodus 25:10, Moses receives the command to build an ark of acacia wood covered with gold. And this is a beautiful picture because, again, this picture is Jesus. Of all the instruments, and everything points to Jesus. I want you to understand that. Everything points to Jesus. but of all the instruments or furniture, there's nothing that points to Jesus more clearly than the Ark of the Covenant. It's absolutely beautiful. You know, it was made of wood and covered with gold. And so that represents the Lord. Human represents the wood. Gold represents deity. Fully man, fully God. And so it's a beautiful picture. As a matter of fact, I don't have this picture, but I've seen it before in one of the Bible dictionaries, that if you were to unfold this ornament box, if you were to unfold this ornament box, it would be in the form of a cross. Isn't that neat? I want to tell you, it's beautiful. And so he gives instruction to Moses about this. Now let me just tell you a little bit, because inside would be the tablets of stone. Do you see that? The tablets of stone there. And, you know, that represents God's word. It's his promises and his direction. And also the rod of Aaron represents God's leadership, that he wants to personally lead you. And he'll also give leaders to lead. And he wants to guide you, and he wants to give you wisdom. He hasn't left you on your own. Isn't that beautiful? He's a real shepherd. And also the rod of Aaron is the leadership and the guide to wisdom. The pot of manna is there. And you know what? That represents God's provision. That he's your provider. He provided for them miraculously, and he's the unlimited supply, and he still is. That's what Jesus said about himself. And so on top of this ornament box, what you see is the top part is the mercy seat. It's the golden plate, pure gold. It's the mercy seat. And you see the two angels, the cherubim, two angels with raised wings facing each other, covering the ark. And so there's some light there between those two angels. Do you see that? And so that represents the presence of God being manifested. Isn't that beautiful? And so I'm telling you, the Ark of the Covenant represents him, because the Lord loves to manifest his presence. Okay? He loves to give direction. He loves to give protection. He loves to for you to recognize his presence. He wants to be priority. This box was a tool of remembrance, to remember that he's present, to remember that he's our guide, that he will lead us, that he'll give us wisdom, to remember that, you know what, he's our supply. Do you see that? And so this is beautiful. Now, the mercy seat's important, because I want to tell you, all these things that God is, human beings rebel against him. That's why we need mercy. And so I'm telling you, when it came to the tablets of stone, they disobeyed. They rebelled. Even before they got the stone in hand, they rebelled against God. All right? And so broken tablets. So I'm telling you, mercy covers that. I want to tell you about the leadership. They complained and rebelled against the leadership that God put in. They rebelled against God's words. Okay, God, and they disobeyed God. And so the mercy seat covers that rebellion. They complained about God's provision. You ever done that? Yeah. They complained about the miraculous provision that God made. They murmured and complained. The mercy seat covers that. So when God looks down, representing Jesus, the Ark of the Covenant, he doesn't see our rebellion against his word. He doesn't see our rebellion against his leadership. He doesn't see our rebellion against his provision, our complaining and murmuring. You know what he sees? Mercy. And that's why the blood was applied to the mercy seat. Do you see that? And so what God really loves is for us, because of his mercy, he wants us to experience his presence. And so between the two angels there in the Ark of the Covenant, there was the manifestation of his presence. You know why? Because he loves to interact with his people. That's big on his heartbeat. He loves to interact. He wants to talk to his people. He wants his people to interact with him. And the Ark of the Covenant would give direction, communication with God. They would talk to God. And you know what? They would experience the presence of God. Isn't that beautiful? Well, that's just Jesus. And it's a beautiful picture of Jesus. Okay? And so this intro to the Ark of the Covenant and the Tabernacle of David is how we're to approach the Lord. And it's important when you approach the Lord, and this is what the Tabernacle of David and the Ark of the Covenant show, is this picture. God's looking at your heartbeat when you approach Him. It's important that you approach Him in a worthy manner. This is your posture. This is your position. And because of the blood of Jesus, He grants you this liberty to approach Him. But it's important that you approach Him in a worthy manner. Hey, this is one of the ways I'm going to share with you, because I'm going to share some things right now to show you how important it is that you approach the Lord personally and privately and publicly. Number one, to recognize this. Every time we gather to God's words, He has a feast for us, no matter who's done the cooking. Okay? I'm telling you. If it's Pastor Rich or Pastor Patrick or Pastor Don or one of the leadership team up here, I want to tell you, I have respect for all of them. They all speak into my life. They all talk to the Lord. And they all know how to minister Jesus. And so I want to tell you, when one of them is speaking, you listen. You know why? Because I want to tell you something. It doesn't matter who's done the cooking. Every time we gather in the Word of God, whether it's Sunday morning, whether it's a Wednesday night meeting, whether it's a ladies' meeting, I'm telling you, there's a feast for us. Because everything we do is centered around this Word, because we're a Word church. And so I'm telling you, He has a feast for us no matter who's cooking. Now, we bring people in that can cook up some buffets. Pastor D last week. I'm telling you, it's beautiful. Nikki's going to speak for us on Mother's Day. And I want to tell you, she's an amazing Bible teacher. She sees Jesus. It's beautiful to me. Okay? We're going to see some folks. We have Pastor Ben every year. You know what I'm telling you, man? He's top notch, man. He can cook it up. But it doesn't matter who we have up here. Your expectation should be to Jesus and get ready to feast. Come hungry to the table. Come thirsty to the table. Jeremiah 15:16, your words were found. Find His words. If it's privately in your meeting with the Lord, meet with the Lord over His word. Don't just read a scripture and say amen and go about your day. Have an encounter with the Lord in His word. Your words were found and I ate them. Digest His word. All right, I want to tell you, people talk about, well, I want God to do something in my life. Well, I want to tell you, God's not going to do very much in your life without you and this word. Because it's one of the primary ways that He ministers and transforms us. You want change? Get in the word. And I've had people tell me, I don't have time for that. Well, you don't have time for God to change you. Pastor Don said it the other day. I've been saying it to other people. We've been saying it. You know it's true. If you do the same thing over and over and over and expect change, it ain't going to happen. In order for you to change, change has got to show up in your personal calendar and schedule. I've had people that, you know, need a big miracle, need a transformation in their life, and they haven't changed their approach to God. They're operating, well, if God wants to do something, He knows where I live. You need to practice where He lives. Practice His presence. That's what the Ark of the Covenant is the teaching about. And so, your words were to me a joy. We've talked, somebody ought to do a series on joy. Oh, we just did. But His word brings forth His joy in your life. How's your joy factor? Well, how's your word factor? The rejoicing of my heart, it'll cause your heart to rejoice, for I am called by your name. It'll remind you who you are in Him when you see Him in the Word. Wow, He's the Lord God of hosts for your life, for this church. Proverbs 4:22. For they are, speaking of His words, they are life to those who find them. I want to tell you, you got to find them. And when you search and you treasure, you in the Word, and you find that Word, it has an effect because you digest it. There's an opportunity for it to affect your life. Because the Word of God is powerful. It says it's healing. Now, the Hebrew word is marpe. I want to tell you what that is. It means medicine. Is that great? It's medicine to you. Medicine without side effects. It just benefits. Okay? That's for you. That's what His Word does. It's healing and health to all their flesh. Now, that's speaking of your whole body. Is that, well, Brother Tim, sounds physical. It's not, yeah, it is physical. Okay, I had someone tell me, this was a teenager, an adult teenager, told me the other day, you know, you don't understand, my problems are physical. So that don't work. No? I'm telling you, God's interested in your physical. And I'll tell you, according to the Bible, do we believe the Bible? Are you going to let the Bible get in the way of your health? I am telling you, the deal is, this is an athletic event. Oh, yeah, hallelujah. I'm telling you, this is the deal. His Word is medicine to your whole being. Emotionally, physically, your soul, and your body. Come on. It's health to all their flesh. Jonathan Edwards was a mighty man of God, was greatly used in this nation, one of the great revivals Jonathan Edwards was. And I want to tell you something. This is something that he said more than once. And I want to get it right. He said this, the more time I spend in His Word, the stronger my frame becomes. Now that frame is an old English word because it was a couple hundred years ago. It's 300 years ago, but it's an old English word. The frame meant his body. And so he was expressing and sharing that the more time I'm in this Word, the more it affects my physical body. Well, that sounds like Bible. He was in the Bible and experienced the effect of the Bible. Isn't that great? When God's Word is found, and that means when it's received and when it's embraced, not just when you hear it with one ear and run out the other. Not when you hear it and you just mentally acknowledge it. No, no, no. We're talking about revelation. We're talking about it becoming a part of you. You embracing it. It's health to all your flesh. Medicine to all your needs. Our flesh, it's not just the spiritual part of you, but your whole body inside and out and all the saints said. But this is only when you embrace it. You got to do more than just have a scripture of the day or to have a little devotional. This is something that you chew on, that you make it a part of you. You embrace. You enlist it. All right, you say yes to it inside out. It's kind of like the experience of Mr. and Miss Disciple on the road to Emmaus. They said, our hearts were on fire. Because here's Jesus, and they didn't recognize it was Jesus, was going through the Old Testament and showing us pictures of Himself in the Old Testament, and our hearts were on fire within us. Well, you know what? It feeds your spirit, man. It ministers life and healing to all your flesh. That's the Bible. It's true. It's not a lie. The psalmist said it like this, quicken to me, Lord, quicken to me according to your word. And you know what that means? Quicken me means to wake me up, make me come alive, revive me on the inside with your word. Change me on from the inside out with the power of your word. Psalms 119, a lot of verses. Every one of them speak about the power of the word, the effect of the word in your life. It'd be a good read through for you. I'm telling you, Psalm 119, verse 25, 50, 88, 107, 154, 159. You think this is not a thing? It says, quicken me. Your word will cause me to come alive. All the dead places in my body and in my life will come alive because of your word. Those defense systems that say no, that are selfish and self-centered in my mind, will absolutely be torn down because of the power of your word. You will cause my mind to come alive, my soul to become alive, according to your word, according to your spirit. Come on, praise the Lord, somebody. It's His will, it's His word, it's His way of ministering His life to you. And so when we approach the Lord, let's approach Him in His word and see God in His word. So be advised. I want to tell you, some of you have been believing God for a long time for breakthrough. And I know it's possible to get discouraged on that and to say, Where is my breakthrough? On what calendar is my breakthrough happening? I want to encourage you on this because this is one of the ways to approach God. The way to approach God is, well, you ain't done it yet. No, that's not the way to do that. Your approach toward God is to be like this, soon and very soon. Okay? Soon and very soon. And your breakthrough is closer than you think. You see, you can't see from God's point of view. You're seeing from your point of view. And your human calendar doesn't always match up with God's calendar, somebody say amen. But let's believe in the right now. See, our focus, according to the Word, is the right now, very present rescue of our caring shepherd. That's the way we're to view. That's the way we're to approach the Lord. You need to recognize what the Bible says, that today is the day of salvation. Be in the today with what God's doing in your life. If it's not complete rescue, it's partial rescue, step by step, part by part. Recognize Jesus in the right now. See, I want to tell you, that would make a big difference. It'd make a big difference. You have a tendency to look at the past and see what hasn't happened. You have a tendency to look to the future and say, well, it's just so impossible, it overwhelms me. No. I'm telling you a secret here about how to approach the Lord and receive, is that you focus on Jesus today. It's the right now. Focus on the right now. Be where you are today and recognize Jesus. Hey, let me say it to you like this. Enjoy Him today. Now's the time of favor. Now is the present tense. Live in the present, not in the past, not in the future. Live in the right now with God. He's the God of the past. Yes, He is. He's the God of the future. Yes, He is. He's already there. But the emphasis in Scripture is that He's the very present right now help in the time of your right now trouble. You remember Martha, she complained to Jesus, well, if you had been here, Lord, my brother wouldn't have died. She was talking about her brother Lazarus. She was implying that, Jesus, you're late. You ever said that to the Lord? Listen to Jesus' answer. He said, I am. You need to recognize that for you. I am the resurrection and the life. Right now. It's present tense. He is always the I am. That's the way He introduced Himself to Moses in the burning bush. He said, I am that I am. And so this is what I'm telling you, saints. This will make a difference in your receiving, how you approach the Lord. Enjoy Him every day. Live in the right now moment with Jesus. Man, that is so powerful. You will see the Lord doing more. He's already doing things, but you'll see Him doing more in your life by enjoying Him every day and living in the right now moment with Jesus. Have a right now present consciousness of Him with you. You say, well, what about? That's between them and God. We're talking about your responsibility is right now with Jesus' presence. Live it this year as a manner of operation. And when it comes to this time next year, you'll have a full chapter of what God has done in your life. You'll be talking about the exploits in your life that you and Jesus were together in on. Not just with what God's done in you, but what God's done with your life to touch other people. Because that's the full expression of what He wants to do. You'll be more aware of His heartbeat. You'll see Him in the Word a whole lot clearer. You'll hear Him a whole lot easier because you'll be sensitive to His voice. You'll hear the prompting of the Lord and you won't get in this argument, well, I don't know about that. No. I'm telling you, when you enjoy Him every day, your heart becomes more sensitive to Him. You know what? You become more submissive to Him. And I want to tell you something. You will be enjoying obeying the prompting of the Lord and seeing the results of what happens when we love Him enough to do what He says and what He does as a result of that in other people's lives. Wow, that's Christianity. Lord Jesus Christ, the I am that I am, He's very present with you right now in the midst of your situation. Now, I minister to pastors, and some of them have this mindset. Well, at one time God used me, but it's not happening now. A lot of times when I'm speaking at a church and they've had a move of God in the past, they say, well, we've experienced the move of God. Not happening now, but we've been there. Well, I want to tell you something. He hasn't passed you by. Some of you may think, well, I've messed up so bad that He's not going to use me in big ways in the future. I want to tell you, that's not God speaking. His dream for you is bigger than you. His dream for you is bigger than your dream. Not anything the enemy has done can thwart the purpose of God for your life. You got to see him. And you got to get off the past. Hey, your opportunity is not over. Hey, the door hasn't closed to the mighty working of God in your life. Do you remember what Amos 9 talked about? I'm telling you, hey, grace acceleration for your life. It's not over. Let's believe God for big. Don't park in the past. He's doing a new thing. Hey, look, in the last year, my beautiful blonde could confirm this. In the last year, I've had people, pastors that were 20 years younger, 30 years younger than me, talk about and complain about feeling old. Feeling old and feeling tired and feeling used up. Now, look, I'm not throwing Bibles at them. I understand how we can get that way, and I understand that the enemy wants you that way. Okay? Listen, I share with them this, and it kind of blows their mind. Not all of them agree, but I'm sharing this with you, and you say, well, this is kind of out there. Well, I want to tell you something. You got to hear it before you can believe it. You got to believe it before you can receive it. And so I'm just kicking out the Word of God. What you do with it is between you and God. My part's to give you the truth, because if I don't share the truth with you, you don't have the opportunity to respond to the truth. Now understand, I understand too, you may have to hear, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing before you catch it. The tribe of Asher, it's a promise. As your days, so shall your strength be. This is out of Deuteronomy 33:25, and it says this, your castles and strongholds shall have bars of iron and bronze. I want to tell you, Jesus will be your protection in a darker world. The world's getting darker and darker, but guess what? The light of Jesus is getting brighter and brighter. Hey, supernatural darkness is out there. According to the Bible, it's going to get darker out there, but I want to tell you, we have supernatural light in you. We have supernatural light in here. And so the darker the supernatural darkness gets, the brighter the supernatural light gets. I've got a sermon on that. I just taught a lesson on it not too long ago. But I'm telling you, I'd be excited to share with that with you in the near future. But he is your divine protection. And as your day, in other words, as you get older and older, as your day, so shall your strength, rest, and security be. And so I am telling you, as your days get older, your strength will too. Brother Tim, that's not medically proven. No, it's supernaturally spoken. This is what God's Word says. Now, if you don't believe it, you're not going to receive it. You got to hear it and hear it and hear it in order to believe it. But I want to tell you, this is just focusing on God and not on medical science. This goes against the natural. It goes against the opposite of the human mind. But God's blessing is greater than human limitation. Let me say it another way. God's blessing is greater. God's promises are greater than human tendency. God's bigger than medical science. He's bigger than medical knowledge. God is greater than the natural flow of life. He says stuff like this in the Bible, that your strength shall mount up as wings as eagles. You'll run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. You know what? That's speaking of restoration of strength to your youth. You say, well, that just doesn't make sense. It don't have to make sense for it to be God. What do you believe in God for? If you're believing you're going to get older and older and weaker, hello, we know what that journey looks like. All right, don't settle for that. Hey, God's greater than the natural flow of life. He's supernatural. He is restoration. He is resurrection life. And he says he'll give resurrection life to our mortal bodies. What does that look like? Are we focused on the decline of age? Are we focused on the limitations of human life? Are we focused on God in the Word that says Zoe life in this natural life? Zoe life, the God kind of life. Are we more aware of human weakness or God's strength? Come on now. You can say, oh me, it don't keep me from preaching. Oh, me or amen. God's Word, the promise, as well as all the promises of God, are yes and amen for us. I know There's pastors that I love on the ministry who say, brother, you can't say that. That was given to a people in the Old Testament, given to one of the sons, and it's for them and that tribe and not for us. Well, I want to tell you, Paul put it real clear. All the promises of God are yes and amen for us. Hey, yes, it was a promise that first spoken to the tribe there of Asher. But I want to tell you something. Listen. It reveals God's heart. His promise, His word reveals His heart. Jesus paid the price for all the promises of God. Hey, the cross and the resurrection made this promise available for all of us. All the promises of God are yes and amen for us. God's word is health and life to all of our flesh. Didn't we read that? Is this just when you're young? Is it just for a few? No, God wants, I'll tell you what God wants. God wants believers to believe. He loves His word. I want to tell you, it excites heaven when believers believe. Because when believers believe, heaven says, it's on. Because God's already said yes by Jesus. He loves His word. He waits for someone to dare to believe His promises. We have to hear and have faith to believe and believe it to receive. God's promise, as your days progress, so shall your strength increase. Well, Brother Tim, we don't have any. Well, we got Caleb as an example. All right, he said, I'm as strong today as I was 40 years ago when I first got this promise from my mountain 40 years ago. He said, I'm just as strong today. Now listen, he was in a generation that everybody in his generation died but besides him and Joshua. He watched his friends, he watched all the people his age, all the people he knew in his generation die. And you know what? He was believing for more. You know why? Because he rested on a promise that God gave him. He didn't believe toward death. He believed before life. He expressed faith, and God said, I'm going to honor you for that. The people that expressed doubt did without. Those he that believed received. Those that expressed doubt did without. Does that sound something to somebody? Caleb said this. 40 years later, give me my mountain. Now his mountain was full of giants. Giants lived there. He's 80-something years old. They had fortified cities in that mountain. And he said, give me my mountain. I'm claiming it. I'm going to go receive it. And he battled it out and God honored him. He wasn't a liar. Was he a liar? No, he proved it true with his life. Man, let's believe God. Let the Holy Spirit make this personal for us. Hey, I'm announcing to you, rest assured, God loves for His sons and daughters to trust Him. I'm just saying, let's dare to believe. You know what I want heaven to say about me? About my family, about you, about Freedom Life Fellowship, that bunch in Texas dared to believe me. I'm just going to tell you, and I got to close up. I'll do a little more intro next week before we get into the meat of it. I'm going to tell you what's kind of blowing some pastors' minds that I share with. And it's okay. It's not a test of fellowship for you or for them. I just got to say with my mouth what I believe God's showing me in my heart. I'm believing for our church to be free of sickness and disease. Okay? And now look, the first thing I hear, brother, you can't say that. Yeah, I can say it. I just did. Well, brother, that can't happen. Yes, it can. Because with God, all things are possible. Yeah, well, you have no scriptural reference for that. I want to tell you something. The children of Israel, millions of them, went through 40 years in the desert. Now, those that rebelled died. Those that rebelled were stricken. But for those who kept their heart toward God, let me tell you something. Their sandals didn't wear out. A lot of walking. Their clothes didn't wear out. There wasn't sickness in the camp. It wasn't disease in the camp because the Lord promised them, I will protect you from the diseases of the Egyptians. I want to tell you, it's by Him. It's not by medical science. God wants to use that in our life. Praise God. But I want to tell you, you better be giving the glory to God. You better be trusting the Lord when you take a pill. Okay, you better thank God and believe for more. And let's trust the Lord for restoration. Let's trust the Lord for strength. He's our strength. The first stage of sickness is weakness. Man, I'm telling you, let's say amen to Jesus concerning His promises. And you know what that means? That means so be it. I'm going to pick up right here and finish the intro. And yeah, that's real reachable. And we'll get into sermon, into the series. But I wanted to share with you about how to approach the Lord. Look, we operate in this life by believing and receiving. And you know what? You got to be in this Word so that He can take this Word and show you in your heart that this promise is you, is what you really look like before God. This is the mirror to show you what you really look like, what the real you is all about. Not what the enemy says about you, not what your past, not about what your report card says, but let's agree with what God says. Let's believe it. Hey, part of it's speaking it. Okay? I can't tell you how many times the enemy said, don't say that about believing God for a church to be your family. Look, man, I'm the pastor, okay? I believe God's speaking this to me. I've got some other leadership that agree with it, but I'm telling you, it's something for me to believe for. And you know what? Hey, before I ever spoke this, you know what? Guess what? My family got attacked with some stuff. Doesn't that sound like the enemy? You need to delay that. You don't need to say that yet. No, I'm telling you the way God operates. We speak it before we see it. We speak it before we receive it. We believe, so we speak. And there's power in that. So let's not let the enemy limit God, what He wants to do and what He can do for your life. I'm telling you, greater days are coming. That's what the tabernacle of David is all about. He is restoration. We're going to experience Him in some great ways because you know what? We're in the last days. It's going to be a great pouring out of the Lord. I believe this. Now look, if I'm wrong, we get to heaven, I bet you forgive me by the time you get there. But I want to tell you, I'm believing for the best. Let's believe God for bigger than what we see right here. Let's believe God for a bigger footprint, a bigger outreach, larger gates, because you know what? God loves hearts. Let's trust the Lord. What does He want to do in your life? What is the Holy Spirit saying to your life today about the power of the Ark of the Covenant, His presence, His promise, His work in your life that He wants to fulfill? Hey, He's given every single person here a purpose, and He wants to fulfill that purpose. I'm telling you, God did not make anybody here a loser. The enemy will lie to you and say that you are, but God didn't make any losers. And you know what I see? Winners. And because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we're joint heirs with Jesus. We are victorious, more than conquerors, overcomers, because of Jesus. And it's by our believing that we're receiving. All right, can we believe the Lord right now? Why don't you bow your heads and let's seek the Lord together. Lord Jesus, we just surrender and submit to You. Lord Jesus, we want Your best for our life. We want Your best for our family. We want Your best for our church family. Lord Jesus, we want You to receive honor and glory for Yourself through our lives, through our family, through our church. Lord Jesus, thank You that it's Your heart to show Yourself mighty. Thank You that it's Your heart for an acceleration of grace to happen in this day, in this hour with Your people. Lord Jesus, we receive. Lord Jesus, we believe. Lord Jesus, open up our eyes of our heart, the ears of our heart, to hear You and to see You and to say yes to Your yes. We give You praise, Lord. Thank You that the promises of God are right now for us. In Jesus' name. And all the saints said, amen. Let's give the Lord praise. Thank You for joining us and being with us on this.